Welcome to the Animation Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things animation brought to you by Filmbook. My name is Matt Brunet, but some of you may know me as Animat from my YouTube channel, Electric Dragon 505, home of web series that are all about animation, including Animation Lookback and Animat's Reviews. Now, if this is your first time here in the Animation Podcast, the title will go and tell you everything about it. Now, if you are here to listen to a podcast about animation, well, perfect. You've come to the right place. Don't worry about a single thing. But specifically, though, what this podcast will be getting into will be about the latest news that happened this week. So for this episode in particular, we're going to be going back into the Jetsons, and apparently not only will it be coming back as a movie, but also as a brand new TV show. Then we will be learning English from a very unusual source. Then afterwards, we will be having a little chat with Trey Parker and how he sees animated features as what he calls it, Ameritrash. Then afterwards, we will be going back into theaters looking at another Hayao Miyazaki film, but this time not going to be something that's specially catered to G-Kids and Studio Ghibli. And then finally, we're going to end things off with Animat's Pick of the Week. If you want to check out more episodes of the Animation Podcast, then all you have to do is head on down to Filmbook, that is film-book.com, by searching the Animation Podcast. You can also email us at podcasts@filmbook.com with the Animation Podcast in the subject line. And so, for our first story that we have for you today, we're going to be talking about the Jetsons. Now, if you may recall, in a recent previous episode of the Animation Podcast, I actually talked about how Warner Animation Group is in talks to go and create an animated Jetsons movie, and the only thing that they have confirmed so far is that they are bringing in Conrad Vernon to be the director. Other than that, there's no other information about it. We don't even know when is it going to be released or anything like that. My assumption is that because this is going to be a part of Warner Brothers' idea for a Hanna-Barbera cinematic universe, they want to go and create something like, they want to go and put the Jetsons movie sometime a little bit later. Like, Scooby-Doo is going to be the first one in 2020, so the Jetsons is going to be probably the next one in, like, I don't know, 2021, 2022, or even 2023. So that's how far that I can imagine that movie, if they actually do want to make it, that's when it's going to be released. However, Warner Brothers has actually a lot more plans with the Jetsons, not to go and create a movie, but chances are this is going to be released before it, and that is, the Jetsons is going to have a live-action TV series. Yes, how ironic that Warner Brothers is coming back to the idea of turning the Jetsons into live-action, but this time, not for a movie, and not with any other big-name directors like Robert Zemeckis, Robert Rodriguez, or something like that. The director of Spy Kids is what I'm saying. They originally tried to do all that plan, but I guess, like, now they want to drop it, and now they're actually gonna go and create a Jetsons live-action TV series. Now, if you want to know a little bit more details about what they have planned so far, is that apparently, using my source here on TV Line, sources confirmed that the studio, which has hired Family Guy executive producer Gary Jannetty to shepherd the potential series, will begin shopping the multicam project around to broadcast and cable networks in the coming weeks. Jannetty would also serve as an executive producer alongside Robert Zemeckis, and that's where I got the name in the first place, and Jack Rapkin. Jackie Levine is a co-executive producer. Nickelby Inc. and Campari Entertainment would produce in association with Warner Brothers Television. And the one thing that I can immediately see what they're trying to do with this live-action Jetson series is that if this actually does come into fruition, I could definitely see that they're definitely going to modernize it. And I know that sounds really weird that I would say that they're going to modernize the Jetsons, especially the fact that this is a series or an entire franchise that's supposed to be set in the future. But what I mean by modernizing the Jetsons is that when you look at the original series back in the 60s, that's basically the 60s interpretation of what the future will look like. And when you look at it right now, like, there's already a lot of stuff in that show that already exists to this day. Maybe not in the way that they're showing it in the Jetsons, but they do exist. Like robot maids and robot butlers. I mean, yeah, sure, nowadays they're not necessarily as sassy or they have a lot of personality like they do in the Jetsons, but they're actually utilized a lot in different areas, like especially in Japan and, you know, even a little bit in here, like little appliances, like, you know, like little robot vacuums and all that kind of stuff. And especially with the way that we would use Siri, or we would have things like, you know, those little like cylinder boxes like Amazon Alexa or anything like that. Like you just say, Google, show me, like, turn on the TV, Google, turn off the lights, or anything like that. Like, those little machines that, like, you can do whatever is going on in the house, and you can do anything by just doing voice command. Like, those are the technologies that you could see from the Jetsons. And also, probably the most noticeable one is the use of Skype. Where, in the Jetsons, when they want to use the telephone, their interpretation is basically, you would see a screen coming down, and like, it would be like if they would talk to each other face to face, but they would be talking to each other in front of a screen. Well, we're still doing that right now, whether it be with Skype or FaceTime or anything like that. That's kind of the new telephone, where like, we would look at each other and we would just have a chat, rather it be like, we're in our homes, or if we're talking from one country or an entire continent to another. I mean, this is why, even with me, I would chat up with people from the UK or in Dubai or in other parts in the world. I have done that with modern technology. And that's pretty much why, with the Jetsons, even though it's a show that's set in the future, you could see where there are elements that nowadays it would seem a little bit dated. Now, maybe they could bring in those elements onto, like, this new version of the Jetsons, but from what I can imagine, like, they really are gonna try to really amp up the future to make it seem like the futuristic version of today, in a sense. Like, for example, like, maybe we'll see futuristic versions of Apple technology, like iPads and phones, and video games and all that kind of stuff, you know? It's kind of like a Disney example that I can think of is if you would go to the Magic Kingdom at Disney World and you would enter the Carousel of Progress. Like, you see all the little elements in the past, and then suddenly there's this one scene that's entirely set in the future. And you could definitely tell some of those elements are a little bit dated to this day, and like, the technology is happening right now. Like, when you see the grandma is playing a video game using VR, and like, she's playing like some kind of Star Fox type of game. So that's kind of the thing, is that you really gotta update it so that it seems that it is the future from the people from the 2010s perspective, you know what I mean? It's something like that. But I think I can understand why is it that Warner Brothers is considering to do a live-action series of the Jetsons. And it's not necessarily because they really want to bring back the Jetsons as this big name, you know? Like, somehow Warner Brothers recently has the Jetsons on their mind and they want to try to develop more ideas and TV shows and all that kind of stuff. It's not like that wrestling movie that features the Jetsons really got popular and it's like really becoming a household name and it's like trending on the internet. No. I think I can understand why Warner Brothers wants to do that. And it's because, like, sci-fi TV shows, they're starting to become a trend, or it seems like they could be a trend in the future. And why I say that is because when you think about some of the big name TV shows that are going to be coming up, some of them actually really do gear towards sci-fi. Like, I know there's going to be an upcoming Star Trek series, and then coming this fall, Seth MacFarlane is going to have a live-action Star Trek spoof called The Orville. So there could be a possibility that Warner Brothers wants to jump onto this hype train and they want to try to cash in case those TV shows actually do end up being really successful. Like, if The Orville would end up becoming Seth MacFarlane's next Family Guy or American Dad, then there is a way that Warner Brothers can actually cash in on it, and they'll bring in the Jetsons into live action. So that's my idea onto why they want to go and do this. But so far, that's the only thing we know about it, is that they want to do a live action Jetsons series. We don't know who's going to be among the cast. We don't know the release date. We don't really know what's going to be happening. But yeah. Who knows what they're gonna do with a live-action Jetson series, but maybe it'll be good, maybe it's gonna suck, but let's just see how it goes. Now, for our next story right over here, we're gonna be going into South Korea, and coming soon, they're going to have a brand new app where they're going to learn how to speak English. You know, that sounds like a pretty nice idea, but with this one, this is going to be entirely Cartoon Network themed. So in here, they're going to have several different Cartoon Network characters to teach South Koreans how to go and speak English. But the big significance about this one is going to be the host. And out of all the characters that they have, you think that the ambassador of, like, learning to speak English to South Koreans could be characters like Finn the Human in Adventure Time, or Steven in Steven Universe, or anybody from The Amazing World of Gumball, or anybody like that. But nope! Apparently, Cartoon Network thinks that it's a great idea to have Uncle Grandpa to do the job. Yes, going into my source here on Cartoon Brew, it stated the app will feature characters from Cartoon Network shows like Uncle Grandpa, We Bare Bears, The Powerpuff Girls, Adventure Time, The Amazing World of Gumball, and Regular Show. Targeted for launch in October in South Korea, there are future plans to roll out the app in other Asian markets, including Japan, Taiwan, and Southeast Asia. So that's kind of the big thing that they want to go and do with this app. And this is not just for kids. This is not just an idea that kids can go and learn English through their Cartoon Network characters. They're also going to be gearing this towards adults as well to go and improve their English skills, rather it be to speak English or to understand English. So both speaking and for listening. But honestly, I do feel like it is kind of weird that they're doing it in this format, especially having Uncle Grandpa to be the host in this. And the reason why I say that is mainly because there are some people in the comments here, they actually said best that it's weird that they would feature Uncle Grandpa considering that the show is canceled. And not only that, but it's not just Uncle Grandpa, but there's also the Regular Show. That series just recently got finished as well. So you got Uncle Grandpa that was canceled, and then the Regular Show is gone. But also another unusual thing is that Steven Universe is not in this. I mean, you got all the other shows like We Bare Bears, Powerpuff Girls, Gumball, and Adventure Time, but they didn't include Steven Universe. Now, maybe there is a bit of a controversy considering the subject matter that it may not be suitable in other countries because it would be considered a little bit too controversial, but I'll be honest, I haven't done my entire research on Steven Universe yet. I know that for those of you who watch my videos on my YouTube channel, you may know that coming soon I am going to be working on Animation Lookback Cartoon Network. Well, I'm just going to say right now, I am in the middle of the process of writing it. And even though I've made it far, I have yet to reach the part where I would talk about Steven Universe. So maybe I'll understand a little bit more when I do reach that part, but for right now, it does seem a little bit strange for me. But yeah, overall with this app, I will say though that I am actually pretty in favor for this idea. It does seem pretty cool that you would actually have this special app that would help you go and learn a new language or learn a bit of an international language, considering that English is one of the most popular spoken languages in the world next to Mandarin. So I can see where they're trying to go with this. And, you know, it definitely does sound great that it is something for both kids and adults can go ahead and use. So who knows? I definitely do hope that this does become a pretty good idea. And it even says here, it even includes a quote from Ron Lee, Turner Korea's general manager, stating that we are delighted to be partnering with Qualson to enable more Koreans and Cartoon Network fans to watch their favorite shows and improve their English at the same time. We believe that learning is always more effective when it's also fun. And that is something that I absolutely agree. I think, if you make education a little bit more enjoyable, if you add a little bit of a fun twist to it, then it's going to be a lot easier for people to learn. That's why when I would make animation look back, when I would talk about the history of animation studios or animators or something like that, I try to make sure that I incorporate a little bit more fun into it. Like, I'm not just going to make some bland video where I just spew out random facts about movies and stuff like that. Like, I want to try to elevate a little bit more than what Did You Know Gaming is doing. Try to make it fun to watch at the same time. So I do get what they're going with. But yeah, apparently that's the whole thing that's going to be going on in South Korea and eventually in other Asian countries as well. And hopefully we'll see some pretty good success with it. I know it's rather weird that they want to go with Uncle Grandpa as the ambassador of all this, but who knows? Maybe Cartoon Network will teach some people how to speak English better. So, for those of you in South Korea and you want to find a cheaper and also a more enjoyable alternative than Rosetta Stone, then all you have to do is wait until October for the release of this Cartoon Network app. Okay, so for our next story right over here, we're going to be looking into an LA Times interview with Trey Parker, one of the creators of South Park, and they're basically talking about him in terms of some of the recent stuff that's been going on with his life. Recently, as you probably know, Trey Parker has been a lot in the news, rather be portraying the voice of Balthazar Brad in Despicable Me 3, or the recent controversy with South Park, where they're just gonna go and ignore Donald Trump entirely. But apparently, there's this one little segment in the interview that apparently Cartoon Brew decided to go and take and just analyze this a little bit. Allow me to go and read you this little segment right here. So it's stated, do you watch many animated kids movies? Now that my daughter is almost 4, I've seen every kids movie there is 3 times. Some of them are so great. The Illumination stuff is so visual and so cartoony. It's not what I lovingly call a Ameritrash, where it's all about what was the point and what did the characters learn. We just saw The Good Dinosaur. Dude, that movie is like, what's that movie about the guy who got raped by a bear?
You mean The Revenant?
Yeah, The Revenant. It's that heavy. One horrible thing after another happens. It's sad after sad after sad, and you're crying the whole time, and you're like, who the made this movie? These Illumination movies are the polar opposite of that. We're not going to be crying. We're just going to go and have some fun. It's a ride, and it's just about what's funny. And I appreciate that. Okay, before anything, I just want to say this right now. Now, for me, I will say that yes, I definitely do enjoy Illumination's work. I could probably say that I am a fan of the studio. I actually really do admire how they ended up finding success so quickly, and ever since the release of Despicable Me, they really went to the top, and they are considered now like one of the top animation competitors next to companies like Disney in the animated feature industry. So they definitely are a really fantastic studio right there. But I'm going to be honest, the thing that Trey Parker said right here is absolutely bullcrap. Pretty much stating that, oh, all animated features suck except for Illumination. Now, the reason why I say that what he says here is entirely frickin' bullcrap is mainly because, like I said before, Trey Parker is not only the creator of South Park, but he recently voiced Balthazar Bright in Despicable Me 3. So, the thing is that, yes, I can see why he really likes Illumination Entertainment, but I wouldn't say it's because of their movies. His favorite part about Illumination is the part where they gave him a good paycheck. That's all I'm saying right over here. So don't give me any of that crap that, oh, all animated films suck, and suddenly, Illumination is the one that's like the master of making cartoons and they're so much fun. And especially his statement right over here, they do have a lot of holes. Now, I do agree, The Good Dinosaur, it's not necessarily, like, it definitely is one of Pixar's weaker films, but I wouldn't say that it's, like, really bad, and even his excuse for it, it's really stupid. I mean, like, what he said, one horrible thing after another happens, it's sad after sad after sad, and you're crying the whole time, and you're like, who the fridge made this movie? Honestly, like, if you're feeling different emotions about it other than just laughing, that shouldn't be a bad thing. By that logic, if, like, sad moment after sad moment means that this movie sucks, then honestly, Grave of the Fireflies is a terrible film, because that's basically what that movie is all about. It's sad moment after sad moment after sad moment. But do people say that it sucks because of that? No! Nowadays, people consider it one of the greatest animated features of all time. And then here he is, pretty much bashing The Good Dinosaur for that same reason. And I mean, like, if an animated film would want you to feel different, like, would want you to feel a different emotion, that's honestly better. Because, like, honestly, I have made this editorial a little while back talking about why is it that in recent years we've seen so many cartoony animated features. And, like, they do seem like they're made for that little simple format right over here. Like, they're made in that format where, oh, it's just meant to be a cartoon, it's meant to be over the top, and it's supposed to be funny and all that kind of stuff. And nowadays, it's really gone down to the point where it's really starting to blend in with each other, and it's like you're watching the same movie over and over again. Rather it be, like, with The Boss Baby, or Trolls, or Smurfs the Lost Village, or Hotel Transylvania, or like even the recent Ice Age sequels, or anything like that. You know, they're starting to feel like they're just doing the same thing over and over again. I'm even going to include some of the Illumination films. Like, sure, I really do enjoy them more than the movies that I've listed, but you could technically put in the Despicable Me movies onto it, or even like The Secret Life of Pets. Those actually can count in this. So honestly, I don't really see the point of looking into, like, oh, is it funny? Is it something that I can laugh the whole time? Oh, that means it's good. No, that by that logic, it's just, you're not even watching movies correctly. Like, the best animated films nowadays are the ones that it kind of challenges your emotions. It kind of makes you feel four different things instead of doing the same formula over and over again. I mean, that's why many of the best ones would come from either Disney or Pixar. Rather it be stuff like Inside Out or Finding Dory, that's another example of, like, sad after sad after sad, where we look into kind of look into the backstory of Dory, and it is actually pretty tragic, where they take her characteristic of having short-term memory loss and use that not as like a comedic shtick, but rather like something to really explain who she is and how she ended up in a situation where she would be with Marlin. So that's the thing, is that I really don't get what the fridge Trey Parker is talking about. Not only does it sound like a complete sellout thing, but honestly, like, his definition of Ameritrash is most likely different than mine. Like, what he seems to be enjoying with, gotta go and have some fun, it's a ride and it's just about what's funny, that's Ameritrash right there. You know, like, if you don't like it that animated films are trying to make you feel different emotions than just make you laugh, then honestly, what's the point? Like, why are you even watching animated films? Like, honestly, it's not that you're too old. You're not mature enough to watch animated features. I think that's more the big thing right there. So, yeah, that's just my little tangent on the quote that he put in. I'd rather not go into, like, some of the other stuff that's going on with Trey Parker. Like, the whole thing with, the whole Donald Trump scenario that the show is suddenly not gonna mention Donald Trump anymore after the whole scenario that they've done to go and be all political during the election and stuff like that. That's kind of like another story right over there, but I guess I'll save that for another time if I really need to go back into it or something like that. I don't know. But for now, it's just this little piece of interview right over here. Yeah, I'm just gonna say, Trey Parker is just full of crap. Now, our next story that we have right over here, we're gonna be talking about a little animated feature that you guys might be familiar with, and that is The Castle of Cagliostro. And if you guys may know, The Castle of Cagliostro is known to be the second animated feature in the Lupin the Third franchise. But the biggest reason why anybody would remember The Castle of Cagliostro is not necessarily related to Lupin the Third or anything like that, but more the fact that this is the directorial debut of Hayao Miyazaki. And, as you guys may know, Hayao Miyazaki doesn't need an introduction. If you know animation, then of course you know who Hayao Miyazaki is. However, apparently, TMS Entertainment is going to do something a little bit special with The Castle of Cagliostro, and that is, for the first time ever, they are actually going to be releasing it in U.S. theaters. Yes, in honor of the 50th anniversary of the Lupin the Third franchise, to commemorate the special, 50 years ago, Lupin the Third was released in manga form by Monkey Punch. They decided they're going to go and release The Castle of Cagliostro for a limited time in U.S. theaters. Now, there is no other specifics on what is going to happen or, what they're going to do with it. Who knows? But apparently, the only thing we know is that so far, TMS is just going to be releasing it in the U.S. sometime this fall, and that's pretty much all that we know about it. And one big question that I do have regarding this is that, okay, so chances are we're gonna see two different screenings of it, that they're gonna be releasing an English dub and also a Japanese sub. But for the English dub, what I would like to know, which version are they going to be releasing? Is it going to be the Streamline Pictures one or the Manga Entertainment? Because I have actually seen both versions. And when it comes to those two, there are some pros and cons, I will say. Like, with Manga Entertainment, some can argue that it actually does have better dialogue. And also, it has a lot better sound effects. Like, what Manga Entertainment did is that they decided to reboot the entire audio and give it brand new, clearer sounding sound effects, where you would hear the gunshots or the driving or anything like that. It's a lot, the sound is a lot more crisp, it's a lot more HD, it's a lot more clear, it's a lot better. But for me personally, I would say that I actually prefer the Streamline Pictures version. And the reason why I say that is because, even though Manga Entertainment could have better dialogue, I feel like the acting in Streamline Pictures is a lot better. there's a lot more charisma, and it really does bring the characters to life, especially with Lupin the Third himself. He's a lot more enjoyable. He sounds a lot more energetic. He has a lot more of a fun-loving personality. That's what I really do enjoy with the streamlined version, is that the acting itself is a lot better. Now, of course, there's also pretty much the name of Lupin the Third. Rather it be, like, Streamline Pictures actually calls Lupin Wolf, and then you have Manga Entertainment, who decided to go a little bit closer to it and just call him Lupin, or just Rupan, or anything like that. But it actually does seem pretty interesting that they are doing this, but I think I can understand why that they're doing it with the Castle of Cagliostro specifically. And that is mainly because they really do want to try to cash in on the fact that it's directed by Hayao Miyazaki. As you guys know, recently, like with 2016 and also this year as well, G-Kids Entertainment and Studio Ghibli are re-releasing many of Hayao Miyazaki's works onto the big screen for a limited time. Like, here in Canada, just recently this week, they actually screened My Neighbor Totoro, and then the next one coming up, they're going to do other ones, including, like, Nausicaa, Castle of the Sky, Howl's Moving Castle, Spirited Away, and I think Ponyo as well. So, what I'm thinking is that instead of going with the first ever Lupin the Third movie with A Letter to Momo, they want to try to go and utilize the Hayao Miyazaki aspect and go with Castle of Cagliostro. Like, hey, since you guys are going to go and watch on the big screen a lot of Hayao Miyazaki movies, why don't you include the Castle of Cagliostro as well, since it is the directorial debut of Hayao Miyazaki. So that's pretty much my understanding. But, you know, it's still really cool nonetheless, since the Castle of Cagliostro is still a fantastic movie. I really do enjoy that one. So, who knows what they're gonna do with it. But, yeah, if you guys are in the U.S. and you are excited to go and see the Castle of Cagliostro on the big screen, then all you have to do is just wait until this fall for the big screen release of the Castle of Cagliostro. And so, finally, we are going to be ending things off with Animat's Pick of the Week. And for this week, we are going to be talking about the latest album that's been hitting shelves, and it's the album that everybody is pretty much talking about nowadays, 444 by Jay-Z. And the biggest reason why people are talking about it is mainly because this is Jay-Z's most personal album. In fact, we can't even call this an album. This is Jay-Z's personal therapy session right over here. This is where Jay-Z comes out of the open and talks about everything that's on his mind, where he would talk about his relationship with Beyoncé, he would talk about his friends, his family, and life in general. Basically, Jay-Z opens up to pretty much everything. And one of the latest songs that he has released is called The Story of OJ. And in this one in particular, he would go and talk about life in general, pretty much giving a word of wisdom to his audience, and also giving out a word of wisdom to people of color. Now, I know what you guys are probably thinking when listening to this. Animat, why the fridge are you talking about Jay-Z in the animation podcast? And I know, this is a question that I'm even asking myself, like, why is it that I'm even talking about Jay-Z in general? This is something that I never thought I would be in the position of doing. Well, the reason why I'm talking about it here is mainly because of the music video. And that is something, I just gotta say this right now. If you're an animation fan, you gotta go see this, you gotta check it out. Mainly because this is actually an animated music video that, if anything, people are talking about the story of OJ probably as much as the album itself. Because, man, it is quite controversial. And like I said before, this is where Jay-Z would be talking about life lessons to mainly his audience and also for people of color. But the way that he is presenting it is more as a satire. And throughout the whole thing, it's meant to be a parody of the old cartoons that would depict African Americans. So you literally have stereotypical black people walking around, and their presence is basically that, where they have like giant lips, where they're slow-witted, and all that kind of stuff. Like, they really go down into the black stereotype onto this. And you could definitely see the influences of many of the old cartoons of the past that they would go and use references to really present the story of OJ. Like, a lot of them include, of course, the most infamous of them all, The Censored 11 by Warner Brothers. There are also a lot of direct references to, it was by Walter Lance, and it's called Scrub Me Mama with a Boogie Beat, and a lot of other cartoons as well, including from Disney or from Max Fleischer. And I will say right now, the animation is actually done by two different studios, Titmouse and The Mill, where the directors include Alicia Tan and Mike Roosh. If you want to know the full credits of who did the animation on that music video right there, you can go to Cartoon Brew. They actually do have an entire list. But the directors in general, like the big directors of the story of OJ, both in terms of the music and the video itself, is by Mark Romanek and also Jay-Z himself, which the two of them also worked together on 99 Problems. And even looking at it, it's actually really fascinating, and honestly, it's quite amazing. It really is. And the main reason is because of the use of all these black stereotypes and, trying to go into that Sambo or Coon looking display on African Americans, and especially like the imagery that they would go, it's like, they would actually go very far with it, including presenting slaves, rather it be like house slaves or field slaves just picking cotton. You see KKK members dancing and all different sorts of racist depictions of African Americans. And in that sense, that's also why it's also quite controversial, because for a lot of people who see that, like, if they don't get what Jay-Z is doing, like, they're entirely pissed off because they're seeing that it is flat, like, it's basically flat out racist. It is, like, the stuff that we see is highly offensive. Well, yeah, that's kind of the point, because the big reason why Jay-Z is presenting like all these stereotypical cartoons and all that kind of stuff, it pretty much connects with the chorus of this song. Now, I cannot repeat the chorus that Jay-Z said because, how could I put this? Well, he would say a certain word that I cannot repeat. And that's mainly because, well, if my voice isn't obvious, then, as you guys can tell, I'm a honky-ass white boy, so I cannot really say the N-word. But yeah, it's basically meant to say that no matter who you look like, no matter what you look like, or how successful you are, how can I put this? Well, in short, if they say you're black, then you black. That's basically the whole idea. Basically, that's kind of the whole thing about the story of OJ, where no matter how successful you are, being a person of color is still a giant obstacle, and your fame is a lot more fragile than a celebrity who is also a white person, because like one little screw up and you could be pretty much over. In fact, I do have a little bit of a theory why this is called the story of OJ, because for the most part, they don't even go into like this isn't even about O.J. Simpson. Like, they don't even go into O.J. Simpson except for like this one little verse. Like, there's this one little line where Jay-Z would say, O.J. Simpson came out and said, "I'm not black, I'm O.J." Okay. You know, basically saying that successful African Americans, they would want to go out in the public, and like, they do mean well by pretty much repeating the famous line by Martin Luther King, where they don't want to be judged by the color of their skin, but more by the character of who that person is. But when there is a flaw, people are going to be exploiting it, and that's when their race will be coming back, and like, people will just portray them, oh, as a filthy black person. And O.J. Simpson, I know that it is really terrible of me to say that people will just end up like rejecting them as a filthy black person, but sadly, that's kind of how people do, you know, that's kind of how people would portray others, in a sense, sadly. And O.J. Simpson is not just an example of it, where one murder case later and his reputation has been completely destroyed, but there are other people as well, like Tiger Woods, for example. And like, there are several times where he would screw up, and no longer are the days that we look at Tiger Woods as this beloved golfer. Or even Bill Cosby, that's another big example right there, where he was one of the most beloved icons on television, and nowadays the only thing we remember Bill Cosby is just, "Hey there, little mister, why don't I slip a little Mickey in your drink, and then I'll put my Jell-O pudding pop in your freezer." You know, just stuff like that. Is that when you screw up, it's near impossible to really get back on your feet when you are a person of color. And the reason why in the story of O.J., we see like the depiction of stereotypical black people, or the stereotype of African Americans onto the music video, is mainly because, well, sadly, there are still people in this world who look at people of color in that way, that they still see the coon, they still see the jiving black man, like, onto African Americans. Like, they don't see them as just regular people equally as white people, sadly. And especially in this intense political climate, where some people actually do think that, oh, just because Donald Trump is president, some people would say like, "Oh, well, now I could be publicly racist and I won't have any consequences. I could say all the racist things like I hate black people and no social justice warrior will tell me that it's bad and otherwise," and all that kind of stuff, you know, just saying all these terrible things. And yeah, that's sadly the truth, is that racism is still alive and well, even in like highly developed countries like America. And another thing that is equally as dangerous as people who are racist is people who are ignorant to racism. That some people believe that for some reason, racism magically disappeared in America, and the only racism that does exist is towards white people, and now for some reason the white people are oppressed, and all that kind of freaking bullcrap. So, like, that's one lesson that you can take from this, is that it being ignorant is as dangerous as being the person who's causing the problem. But yeah, that's pretty much what I'm understanding in the portrayal of the story of O.J. right over here. And on top of that, what Jay-Z did for this song, like, not just for the music video, but for the song in general, like, he would even interview a lot of African-American celebrities to pretty much give their advice to other people of color in life, like, what they have to go through. Like, I have my source here on E! News, And they have brought up a really big list of people that talked with Jay-Z, like Mahershala Ali, Michael B. Jordan, Van Jones, Kendrick Lamar, Trevor Noah, Chris Rock, and Will Smith. And there's even a quote here from Jay-Z himself saying, as black people, because we never had anything, which is understandable, we get to a place and we just think we separate ourselves from the culture. OJ would get a space where he's like, I'm not black, I'm OJ. Like Tiger Woods would get to a space and think I'm above the culture. And that same person, when he's playing golf and playing great, you're protected. When you're not, they're going to put a picture of you drunk driving and, like, embarrass you. That world will eat you up and spit you. I understand it because the psychological damage is so real. It's so real. It's going to take for the way showers to do it and then not get to that point and turn into, like, I ain't black, I'm OJ. Like, he made it. Then it was like he cut all ties. Now the generation of guys can't come with him. And that's kind of the thing why the quote O.J. Simpson said, it was actually really controversial. Like I said before, saying, like, I'm not black, I'm O.J. is kind of like saying that, oh, don't judge me for the color of my skin, but judge me for the character that of who I am, which is really ironic since later on he would be labeled as a murderer. But the big thing why this is even controversial is that O.J. Simpson is trying to go back from his roots. Like, people are rather upset that O.J. Simpson said that because it's almost as if he doesn't want to be African American. Like, even at the time, like, when you look at a lot of interviews a lot about O.J. Simpson, a lot of people would say that O.J. Simpson wants to be a white guy. And, you know, that does make a lot of sense because having a white life is certainly a lot easier than having a black life. And even looking into the story of OJ itself, like, even if you are white, even if you're not a person of color, it really is enlightening to check out this video because one of the biggest lessons that Jay-Z wanted to tell is mainly to have a legacy. And now when I mean having a legacy, it's not necessarily to go and, you know, try to make a name for yourself, try to make it big, follow your dreams and all that kind of stuff. That's not what he meant by having a legacy. He means financially having a legacy, to be wise with your money instead of going for materialistic needs. And, you know, the old saying goes, don't blow your money on drugs and hookers and all that kind of stuff. Just go and invest your money. Try to turn 2 into 4 and turn 4 into 8. And there's even a quote from the song here where he bought a painting and that he bought for $1 million. And now, like, a year afterwards, it would become $2 million. And nowadays, that same painting is now worth $8 million, in which he is excited to sell that thing so that he can have all that money to invest on his kids. That's basically the big thing. Go invest your money and save so much of it down to the point that not only will you highly benefit this in the future, but also for future generations, for your kids to benefit from this. That's what I mean by having a legacy. And basically, he's talking about having a wealth, because there's a huge difference between being rich and being wealthy. Like, when you're rich, you can easily blow that money. It's easy to go from being rich to having no money whatsoever. And I think Chris Rock actually said it best in one of his comedy bits, is basically that Shaquille O'Neal is rich. The guy who is signing his paychecks is wealthy. And that's the big difference right there. And, like, it, like, even as a white person, like, it really does make me think as well that I should be more wise to that money. Well, like, I should be wise to investing my money and to save up for the future. I mean, like, having a Nintendo Switch is nice, but saving up more for whatever I would have in the future, like owning a house or having a car or having a family or whatever like that, is much more important. So it's better to think about saving your money for the future instead of just spending it on just random entertainment stuff now. So that's kind of the big thing. And honestly, like I said before, I highly encourage you guys to go and check out this entire video of the story of OJ, to check out the music video. Thankfully, it is available on YouTube. Like, you could check it out on Jay-Z's YouTube channel. I think it's Jay-Z Vivo. And one more video that I do highly encourage that you guys should go and check out is Corey and Martin's video on Double Toasted. They also talked about the story of OJ, and they really do bring out a really enlightening and fascinating perspective on the entire music video of the story of OJ. And I highly recommend you guys go check it out, and just go check out Double Toasted in general. Like, those guys are just purely awesome. I love watching their stuff. But yeah, seriously though, the story of OJ really is a very fascinating song, and also like the entire music video itself. I highly congratulate the people that did the animation on this, that worked on this music video. Really fascinating, really great work right there. So definitely awesome. Go check it out, and be wise with your money, kids. It'll be important to save up for your future. And that will be all that I got for this week, so I just want to say thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Animation Podcast. You can find more of my work on film-book.com. All you have to do is search for Matt J. Brunette or the Animation Podcast. You can also find me on Twitter at Animat505. Now, if you have listened to this podcast on iTunes or any other podcast service, do you mind doing us a little favor and rate and review this episode? That would be great. And if you are listening to this podcast on YouTube, then hit that like button on our video and leave us a comment on your thoughts on the news this week. Tune in next week for the latest episode of the Animation Podcast and all things animation. Thank you guys so much for listening. And until next week, see you later, dudes.